The official reports into the racial violence that ignited in Oldham, Burnley and Bradford earlier in the year have prompted a re-examination of the ways in which social harmony and cohesion can be better fostered in our multiracial communities. The debate on the nature of Britishness and national identity coincides with the publication of a book which reveals how Britain's imperial past was built along musical as well as racial, commercial and military lines. Professor Geoffrey Richards' book Imperialism and Music charts a musical course across the parts of the globe that were at one time painted pink. The musical spirit of the British Empire is, a century after the death of Queen Victoria, still evoked in two very different arenas. While Rule Britannia and Land of Hope and Glory traditionally mark the flag-waving finale of the proms at the Royal Albert Hall, the football stadium, any stadium in which England are about to face a foreign foe, regularly echoes to the tone-deaf bellowing of God Save the Queen. When I spoke to Geoffrey Richards earlier, I asked about the original link between music and empire.
I think there's a link in two ways. The British Empire was acquired for economic and strategic reasons, but once it was acquired, it needed an ideology. And that ideology was compounded of the ideas of monarchy, chivalry, hero worship, racial superiority, and Protestantism. And the music which celebrated those in the context of empire became the way in which the empire was linked together in a musical idiom. But there was another musical link too, particularly between the white dominions, and that was, if you like, the common stock of Victorian music, of parlour ballads, religious music and so forth, which was sung all round the empire. And wherever it was sung, there was a sense of unity with the home country. So at Easter, wherever you were, whether you were in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Canada or Yorkshire, people sang the Messiah, and there was this musical bonding around the same central spiritual core.
You suggest, therefore, that music had an adhesive effect, but was music also used as a tool or even as a weapon?
Clearly, there were people who wanted to use music for a political purpose. Kipling, for instance. Kipling had a particular view of empire. He wrote many, many poems. 300 of them were set to music, and they were sung all over the empire about the white man's burden, about the duty of empire, about serving, about soldiering. And these really linked the classes, because they were sung in the music halls, but they were also sung in the middle-class homes. So Kipling was, if you like, the poet laureate, but also the balladeer of empire. Come you back, Commander.